God's word to you and me is found in Proverbs 23, verses 22 through 25. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it, wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. The father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. May God's blessing be on his word. This past week, I went to see my newest grandchild, Evelyn. And it's most of the Evelyns I know are over the age of 75. So it's kind of weird having a three-week-old named Evelyn. I'm like, Evelyn, where did that come from? So I guess we're going backwards with names. So my daughter and my son-in-law welcomed this new baby into the world. And I was reminded of the joys of motherhood, seeing my daughter Maggie hold this new baby. But I was also reminded of the hard work of having babies. This baby, she likes to sleep all day and loves the nightlife, apparently. So she gets her rest during the day, and her eyes pop open at 10 o'clock at night. And this is the great thing about being a grandfather. I say, well, I'll see you in the morning. So it's hard work, feeding this new baby, holding and nurturing them, changing their diapers, all the things that go along with being a mom. And today is Mother's Day, a national holiday. And even if you're not a mom, you can celebrate Mother's Day because each of you, what? Has a mom or had a mom. So we can all celebrate it even if you're not a mother, because we all have a mom. You wouldn't be here if that were not so, right? So if you're a mom, we honor the hard work that you've done raising children. If you're not a mom, let's remember the moms who cared for us and nurtured us and brought us into the world and helped us when times were tough growing up. As we think about Mother's Day, I'm reminded that in our day and age, being a mom is a calling that fewer and fewer women are taking up. In the most populous country in the world, actually not anymore, I think, but China used to be the most populous country in the world, the birth rate has plummeted. According to the World Economic Forum, they are losing about 400,000 people a year in population. That's a tremendous number of people that are dying off and not being replaced. The Chinese government, the CCP, now allows 3 children per child, per couple. If you know anything about what the bad old rules were, it was 1 child per family. I had some Chinese graduate students only 6, 7, or 8 years ago. And one of them, her mom's job was arresting people who had more than 1 child and forcing them to have an abortion. And now, here we are in 2024, and the government now wants them to have more children. And what's interesting is the young Chinese women, they're not going along with it. They're saying, well, you know, maybe I'll have 1 child. Maybe I won't have any. And China will be close to, get this, half its population by the year 2100. Do you understand how big a deal that is? Most of us, we don't talk about it, but the economists are talking about it all of the time. The U.S. birth rate has declined for 6 straight years. 6 straight years. Our birth rate has gone down and down and down. In European countries, places like Germany and England, the death rate is higher than the birth rate. More people are dying every year than are being born. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? It matters because when there's no sizable younger working population, you get an economic meltdown. And that's why economists are terrified about what's happening in Europe and China and now in the United States. To put it on, just to put a picture for you, in the 1960s, there were 6 working people for every retired person. You know what it's going to be in less than 10 years? 2 working people for every one retired person. Now that worries me because I plan on retiring in 10 years from now. I'm like, oh my golly, there's only 2 people to pay for my Social Security and my Medicaid. And who's going to run the grocery stores? And are we going to have enough doctors to go around for all these older people? Am I going to be in trouble? These are the kinds of things that are happening when motherhood is sort of pushed to the side and say, no, that's not something that I really want to do. The cultural and economic infrastructure starts breaking down. Having moms and dads who raise up children is actually critical for the survival of a culture and the survival of a nation. We need women who are willing to be moms for the basic survival of our culture. But I also want to say that the kind of moms that are bringing children into the world also matters quite a bit. Now, if everybody's having babies and they all grow up to be thugs and criminals, that's not such a good thing. We need moms who love Jesus and are willing to bring, yes, and are willing to bring up kids who love the Lord and honor God. Proverbs 22:1 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he will not depart from it. The calling of mothers and fathers is to raise up children in the Lord. And that means we're bringing them to church on Sunday morning. We're teaching them to honor the Sabbath. We're teaching them to follow God's laws, the Ten Commandments. We make sure that they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, when my kids were 3 and 4 years old, when they were able to understand language, we told them about Jesus. That was so important to me because I want my kids to know the Lord. I want them to make it into heaven. And I'm not going to wait till they're 11 or 12 and to get to confirmation for this. That's too late. I want them to know right away that Jesus loves them and they need to invite him into their heart. We need to teach kids to be honorable and responsible people. You know, being a mom involves nurturing, counseling, disciplining, and training. It's an incredibly high calling. When I was growing up, my dad was a Navy pilot, so he was away a lot. So mom was, she was all of it. She was the study chaperone. She was the disciplinarian, the cook, the supervisor, all of it. And then so it, I know it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work getting these kids to do what they're supposed to do and to raise them up to be responsible. So many young men and women today, men and women, I think, treat being a mom as sort of a second-class profession. And I think we think that it's more important to get my law degree or my CPA license or my medical degree or my, you know, my teaching certificate, and you know, and that's the most important thing. And oh, you know, maybe when in my late 30s or 40s, then oh yeah, maybe I'll have a child, maybe. And I know this because my kids are in their 20s and 30s, and that's sort of the attitude that I'm sort of experiencing with the 20 and 30 year olds that. Rearing up kids, that's not high on the list at all. It's kind of an afterthought. And some of them say, well, I have a kid at 40. I'm like, I'm not a doctor, but if you're waiting till 40, that's kind of dangerous. That's what we were told when we were having our kids waiting that long. I mean, it's possible. Maybe things are better today. But pouring your life into the life of a child is the most important thing that you can do. If you make it into your late 70s and into your 80s and 90s and you pass on and you're out at the graveyard, the people at the office from 30 years ago, they're not coming. They're not. You know who's going to show up to cry over your grave? It's your children, or your grandchildren, or your siblings, or your nephews, or nieces, or your family, or maybe people in your church. Profession's long gone by the time you get to that. Our passage says that there's a joy in being the parent of a righteous child, a child who is rightly related to the Lord. There's a joy in being the father or mother of a child who is wise. And wisdom is knowing the difference between good and evil and choosing the good. That's wisdom. A lot of people know the difference from right and wrong, and they make bad choices anyway, don't they? Yeah, our jail's full of them. And moms need help and encouragement and support in raising up godly kids, children who will be able to walk with the Lord. It means we who are not raising up kids come alongside and help. And parents should help each other. This is not a one-person deal. I mean, my dad was a 1950s guy, and the old model is, I bring home the bread, and you take care of the kids. But it's a double deal. Mom and dad need to be engaged in raising up kids. And if I've heard it once, I've heard it a million times. Children are the future of the church. Have you heard that? And I agree. I agree that children are the future of the church. And therefore, you know, I'm going to ask you next week, who wants to volunteer with the future of the church in the nursery? Who wants to hang out with the future of the kids in Sunday school or children's church or vacation Bible school? And I hear, well, I've raised my kids. It's not my problem anymore. I'm not a parent. It's not my responsibility. Friends, as a church, we're all engaged in making sure that the next generation knows Jesus and walks with Him. That's what it's all about. Some of this is simply just being friendly and acknowledging the younger generation who are present in worship. Be a friend. This past week, I was listening to a podcast about the future of youth ministry in the church. It was by Lifeway. They work for the Southern Baptist Church, which is the largest Protestant denomination in the United States right now. And so they have pretty good statistics, but they say for youth in the church, the statistics are dismal. Most kids, by the time they hit 18, they're hitting the road and they're ditching church and they're not coming back. As many as 80 or 90%. And the old wisdom was, well, they'll leave church for a while, but then they'll go to college, they get married, and then they have kids, and the kids get baptized, and then they can keep them in church for confirmation. Not anymore. Not anymore. The younger generation, in large part, leave, and they don't come back. What about those who stay faithful to the Lord and stay in the church? What's the difference? What's the difference between kids who stay and those who leave? And a lot of those kids who leave, they've grown up in Christian homes. Mom and dad taught them all that they needed to know, brought them to church, did all the right stuff, and they still leave. The culture is so heavily against them now. The difference is that they found fascinating is that the kids who stayed in church had friendships with other adults outside of youth group and Sunday school. Do you hear what I'm saying? In other words, the young person comes to worship and they get to know the 85-year-old guy sitting on the other side of the pew. Or they go to get some sweets and the lady who's putting them out is friendly and they get to know each other by name. or they sing with the choir, or they, you know, they're helping out on with the yard, and they get to know everybody in the church, not just their own age group. So when they leave, they can come back and they still know somebody here. You hear what I'm saying? It's like if youth group is all you do and you leave, when you come back, there's nobody you know anymore, hardly. So we need for children to interact and to get to know the other adults in the church. And we who are adults, we need to engage the young people who are here, not just our own age group, not just the people that we know. It's so important that the entire church come alongside and support moms and dads as they're raising up kids in the Lord. Practically, it means volunteering in children and youth ministry, nursery, Sunday school, children's worship. It could mean help outside the church, coaching a sport. Some of my best little league coaches did not have children. They just love sports. My baseball coach, he just loved baseball. And he loved coaching. He didn't have children of his own, but he's like, I love baseball. That's what I'm doing. He's married. My scout leaders, they were out living on an island. They had nothing to do, and then they were Boy Scouts as kids, and they said, yeah, we love scouting. We need people who are willing to substitute at Cape Henlopen School District. There's always a need for people to jump in there and substitute. If that's your training and you're able to do, jump in. There's a mentoring program at our school system where you can meet 1 hour a week with a child whose family has gone sideways and they just need one stable person in their life who can say, how are you doing? How's this week going? How's your school? What's going on? What do you dream about? What are you thinking about your future? You could be that person. And you're coming alongside moms and dads when you do that. It's encouraging parents in our church with good words and being patient and friendly with little people in worship. And we need to pray for moms who are actively engaged in raising up children. Pray for wisdom. Pray for energy, right? Some of you in the back, do you need energy? Yeah. Yeah. And patience. I want to switch gears a bit, if I may. The focus of our passage is not so much how to be a good mom, but more on how children treat their parents. How do you treat your mother and father, particularly as our parents age, beyond the active parenting age? Listen to verse 22 again. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old. Isn't that a good word? Some of you moms, you can throw that at your kids. The Bible says, do not despise me as I get older. That's a good one to hang on your wall, right? Yeah. The passage says, as a son or daughter, desire to live in truth as wisdom. As one who honors the Lord. Verses 24 and 25 said, give your mother and father a reason to celebrate and have joy in your life. Don't bring grief into your parents' life. Honor them. Live an honoring life to the Lord. Now, as adult children, it's let's treat our parents as a gift and a blessing that the Lord has given us, and not as a burden to be bared. Let's take joy in caring for elderly parents, particularly moms, since this is Mother's Day. You know, caring for parents is an important responsibility for adult followers of Jesus. It's actually one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. A lot of times we read that and say, well, that's for elementary school kids and teenagers. Guess what? I'm 60 years old, and I'm still honoring my mother and father. There's a guy, we have a few people in our church, they're in their 70s and 80s and still honoring mother and dad who are in their 100s. I'm like, whoa, wow. Yeah. But you know what? It's what God's called us to do. It's what God's called us to do. My parents have been a tremendous blessing to me and my children and my grandchildren. There's a promise that goes along with this command, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You know what the promise is? So you won't die before you're supposed to. That's why you honor your mother and father, so you won't die prematurely. And you'll be able to keep your inheritance. This is how family works. Our parents, they give birth to us, they bring us into the world, they nurture us, they raise us up. We have children of our own, and most of the time, grandparents, they're jumping in and they're helping us raise our kids. My last church, we had a preschool, 40 or 50 kids. You know who did most of the dropping off for these preschoolers? It wasn't the parents. It's people my age. It's mostly 60 and 70-year-old people dropping off these preschoolers at our preschool because that's who could do it. Parent, grandparents, they fill in the gaps. They help out. They make sure everything goes well. They want it to go well. This is how family works. Our parents and parents nurture us. We have children, and we and our parents, our mother and father help raise the next generation. And then when our parents get older, we take care of them. That's how it works. You know, in much of the world, there's no such thing as Social Security. Did you know that? Most of Africa, there's no Social Security. There's no Medicare. There's no rest home. There's no assisted living. You know what the safety net is on most of the African continent and South America? You know what the safety net is? Family. Kids. Aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins. I'm like, all my cousins live in California, so I'm probably in trouble if I got to rely on them. They're okay, but who knows where they'd put me. So I'm going to count on my children. That's who takes care of us. And as we take care of our aging parents, our kids are watching us. They're saying, this is how it's done. Oh, you put them in an institution and then visit them once a year. That's how it's done, right? Is that how it's done? They're watching us. How is mom and dad taking care of their parents? Because that's what we're going to do. And that's why it's so important that we set the example. What if you don't have children of your own? You know, in the church, we can have spiritual children. When you lead a person to faith in Jesus Christ, that's your spiritual offspring. And I love it when older, spiritually mature women come alongside younger women and mentor them in the Lord and disciple them. And you're raising up a spiritual generation that's going to walk with the Lord and is going to be loyal to you too, because you led them to Christ. And what if your mother and father are no longer living? Or what if your parents are just out of the picture in the church or the community? Why not informally adopt someone who is older? Adopt a grandparent. Adopt someone who needs help or someone who you could be of service to. I want to say there's plenty of opportunities in Lewis for that, by the way. And the church's family, we're called to care for one another and not let each other slip through the cracks. Don't let each other slip through the cracks. That's why it's important that we show up so you can know each other, so you know what's going on. If someone's hurting, you know, oh, you're hurting, how can we help? How can we help you out? How can we come alongside you? We need to be with one another to figure these things out. The creation of the deacons in the book of Acts, you know why they created deacons? Because the widows weren't getting enough food and they weren't being cared for. So the apostles said, hey, we need to create deacons. Because there's people who are slipping through the cracks, and we can't have that. Because their own children or their family weren't caring for them, so the church says, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. If you're on your own, the church can be your family, spiritually, but also in very practical ways. Let me close by getting back to Mother's Day. Being a mom is a high calling. If you're a mom, raising up children in the Lord is one of the most, probably one of the most important things you will ever do. More than any other thing else, raising up kids, it's critical. It means everything. Some of the most influential world changers give credit to moms who poured their lives into their upbringing. Abraham Lincoln said this, no man is poor who has a godly mother. George Washington said this, all I am I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. And let's get modern. We'll get a modern Washington. Denzel Washington said this. He said, my mother never gave up on me. I messed up in school so much they were sending me home. But my mother sent me right back. How's that for a mom? Country singer Patsy Cline said this, I would never have gone anywhere if it hadn't been for my mother's faith and my mother's support. You didn't have a godly woman in these people's lives. I'm convinced they would have gone nowhere. I'm convinced they would have achieved nothing. Without that foundation of love and nurture and caring and instilling godliness into their lives. So moms have a powerful influence on the world. Let's give thanks for the Lord for giving us mothers who brought us up. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the moms that you've brought into our lives. Thank you for the mothers in this church. We pray that you'd bless them. Help us who are not moms to come alongside. Help us all, Lord, to get involved in the raising up of the next generation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.